we're going to get on into the word. For those of you who are visiting with us for the first time, we are doing a systematic study of Philippians chapter 3. And that's where you would need to open your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, and I will bring you up to speed as to where we are. Amen. What you see printed on the screen is our prayer meditation that we say in unison before getting into the word. So I'm just simply going to ask you if you would read it with me. And it simply says, "Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word." Philippians chapter 3, I do not want you to lose sight of the fact that in this chapter, the Apostle Paul talks to us about what matters most, the whole chapter. And Paul speaks this because of the attack that had come on him to say, in essence, he had arrived, that he was all that, and he had reached his spiritual plateau, and that was not the case at all. We have gotten deep into this chapter, and where I stopped you off on last Sunday was at verse 13. Verse 13. And I want to pick back up there. We had finished dissecting the majority of what you find in that verse, but I left you hanging on one phrase. And so what I want to do is read that verse and then park where we're going to begin on today that we might continue. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Now, we have already lifted much of what is in that text in the beginning. What I did tell you was that Paul is now getting ready to present a formula, a method by which he himself is going to show us that he had not arrived at the spiritual plateau, but he's going to give us what he was doing to get there. All right. All right. And on last Sunday, when you take a look now, back at that text, I dropped you all off at the one statement that Paul simply says, "But one thing I do." We had not gotten to that phrase, which is going to introduce the formula that Paul says to us. And I want you to understand what Paul is actually saying. He's getting ready now to introduce this three-part formula of what he was doing in order to achieve the goal of spiritual perfection. And what I want you to stay focused on is that this was something that Paul was pursuing. This was his goal. And I told you a couple of Sundays back that Paul mentions this, but I gave you the answer as to why before I got to this phrase, and that is Paul stayed focused on his relationship with the Lord. That was his ultimate objective. So here in verse 13, he says to us, "But one thing I do." That one phrase alone teaches us this is Paul's ultimate level of conduct. This is Paul's direct purpose. And I want you to pay attention now to the terms he uses. Paul, in this text, had one great aim. He had one purpose in life. And what we want to make sure we understand is he uses the word one. Does everybody see that? He says, but one thing I do. The problem that many of us face today is that we got too much on the table and we're accomplishing nothing. Am I making sense to you? Paul says, one thing. And that one thing, Paul says, is enough for me to focus on. And what I found out is, when you put too much on your plate, you miss everything. And it's wise, just like Paul, for us to develop the attitude, let me focus on one thing. If I would ask you right now, what is the ultimate objective? What is your purpose as a Christian? Don't give me a list. It needs to be one thing. And I want you, when we get into examining what this one thing is, everything else flows from it. See, that's I think we bring to the table the wrong agenda. It's stuff we want done. And you don't need to worry about stuff. You need to focus on yourself, because when self gets right, stuff will fall in place. Am I making sense? Stuff will fall in place. So Paul now, one aim, his purpose in life, and he takes this statement and he introduces to us that I want you to stay with me. He says, before I give you the formula, I got my mind focused on what it is I want to do. In other words, listen to this statement. Every trial in life must be used to achieve the goal of Christ-likeness. Let me say that again. Every trial in life must be used to achieve the goal of Christ-likeness. That means that when hell breaks loose, when trouble comes your way, issues, problems, you got to have the attitude, God is working on me. Got to understand that. You can't roll up in a corner, fall apart, you're going to miss your purpose. Because it's only through catching hell that he can work on you. Am I making sense to everybody? And many of us, we have problems because we don't like trouble. We want everything to go smooth. And anytime mess is in the midst, he's working on you. Because you got to be careful that you don't respond to the mess, but you act according to what he wants you to do, so that when you get the lesson he's trying to teach. And sometimes the lessons can be very simple. Sometimes he's trying to tell us that we need to learn how to love folk that hate us. Because you can talk a good game about I love everybody. Stop lying. Because you don't really know where your love level is until you get somebody in your presence who does not like you. Okay. So Paul then focuses on telling us that he recognizes that he already is seeking the unreachable graces of God. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 4. Listen to what he says. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Too many of us got too many things. You need to stay, you need to get it together and just, Lord, work on me. What is it? I want to walk right. I want my fellowship with you to be enriched. But many of us, open this door, I want this job. Give me that car. I want that house. Increase my bank account. Got too much? See, those things will fall in line when your life, okay. Winners are those who keep their eyes on the goal. And I found out that's the problem with the church. We don't have a goal. Because if we actually had a goal, much of the mess that surrounds this country wouldn't be there. Oh, boy. Consecration is the secret of power. Does everybody hear me? Consecration is the secret of power. James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Some folk would never make up their mind. They don't know where they want to go. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they're doing because they got two. You let other folk pour into your mind. And there are times you just need to steal away and say, God, show me. Guide me. So looking then at verse 13, looking back at verse 13, we see that Paul begins with this present threefold formula. Yes, sir. Stay with me. In verse 13, he gives you two parts of the formula. In verse 14, he gives you the third one.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Paul recognized that God had a plan in his life. That automatically should tell you when you need to change your agenda. We waste time in prayer because we bring to God our agenda. Have you ever thought to stop and say, God, what is it you have outlined for
me?
What is it that you have laid out for me? So if you would ask Paul right now, Paul, what would be the one thing that kept you on track? Paul would say this, and write it down in your notes. Conquering by continuing. Please understand that. The problem is not the conquering, it's the continuing. That's where the rubber hits the road. Can you hang in there? Making sense to everybody? It amazes me. Right now, I got three couples I'm dealing with marriage. And when we sit down and talk and lay everything out, it's so much you can learn even if you ain't getting married. Because, see, it's easy to be in love right then. But when you discover that her may not know how to cook. She doesn't know how to manage money. Or she just might want too much. Or he ain't what you thought. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's, it's not standing here saying, I do. It's can you continue to do? That's where you got to keep in mind. Because on that day, everything's pretty. Everything's pretty. She can have snot running out of her nose. You say, I got it, baby. But the issue is, can you continue? So conquering is born out of continuance. Can you stand the storms of life to be able to be a conqueror? Or are you ready to throw in the towel and quit? Watch Paul. The first part of Paul's formula, three parts to it. The very first one says that Paul is going to tell us we are to forget the past. Now, we've heard this passage many of times in New Year. But you heard it while somebody was hooping. Okay? What we want to do is break it down and make sure we understand exactly what Paul is saying. Watch the phrase that he used. Forgetting those things which are behind. The first thing I need you to notice is that in this particular formula, Paul presents a negative aspect. Got me? Look at it carefully now. Negativity is found there. Paul used this particular formula because he's trying to teach us how to stay focused. And some folk got no focus. You all over the place. You excited this moment and depressed the next because you are not. Paul says, in order for me to achieve what God got in store for me, I got to stay focused. And I'm not downing us as a people, but it bothers me when we all over the place. All over the place. And you can tell when we all over the place depending upon who's there. The term focus. I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. Focus is the ability to stay on track with the plan of God for your life. Right. Listen to what I just said. Focus is the ability to stay on track with the plan of God for your life. Right. Didn't say anything about you bringing your agenda before God. The statement says the ability first to stay on track, and us get off track too much. This is how we end up getting caught on the trap, because you got off track. You got to learn how to stay on track. Every closed door is not designed for you to walk away from. Sometimes a door is closed to see how determined you are to get attention of those that are on the inside. Listen to what I'm saying? Paul says, I chose this to show you that I stayed on track. Listen to this. Focus also means functioning according to the purpose without being distracted. See, he can't take you to the next level because you weren't focused on this level and you're easily to get distracted. See, Satan will bring before you what you think you really need when really it's a method to distract you. It bothers me. It really bothers me when buddies... She getting married, so I got to get married too. Baby, let me help you. Let me help you. When you make a move out of envy, you headed for destruction. See, you got to wait till God sends, Lord have mercy, your way who you need. Not who you want. Boy, y'all mighty quiet. Am I making sense to everybody? You got to wait. Everybody working but me. I need to get me some. Oh, okay, that's fine. Get you some. But pray about it so you go in the right direction. Oh. Christians cannot succeed without being focused. And that's our problem. That's our problem. We can't move forward because us ain't really got our eyes set on where we want to go. So in order for us to be focused, just like Paul was focused, Paul made the statement, forgetting. So let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. What did Paul mean when he says, forgetting those things which are behind? So write in your notes, forgetting. Okay? Now let's clear the air. First of all, you need to be assured we need to discuss what Paul does not mean before I introduce what he means. Are y'all with me? First thing I need you to recognize is that Paul does not mean to try to cross out or cancel the past by some method called wishful thinking. See, too many immature Christians sit down and I'm just trying to get that out of my mind. You know, I'm just trying so hard. No, that ain't going to work. Because if I would walk up to one of y'all and slap you right now, and you come back next Sunday and somebody walk up and says, oh, you need to forgive the pastor. Fine, but you ain't going to forget. Boy, y'all looking at me straight. You're not going to forget. Your mind is not designed like that. Does not mean trying to figure out in your mind just wishful thinking. Paul said, nope, that is not the right way. It does not mean mental magic or psychological tricks. I'm just trying so hard to get this off my mind. What are you using? An eraser? A good one? Am I making sense to everybody? Paul is not even talking about a failure to remember. That's not what he's saying when he says forget. That word forgetting or forget comes from a strong Greek word which is much more powerful than our English word forgetting. So that's the first thing I need to establish. So when Paul says forgetting those things which are behind, Paul, if you read the word, is going to tell us he didn't forget everything. Now let me, if you walk up and say, I need to forget. No, 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 no. There are some things you need to remember. Yes, sir. Am I making sense to anybody? Yeah. Does everybody get what I'm saying? Yeah. First of all, he did not forget his knowledge of God's word. Yes, Paul didn't forget that. No. In other words, if I'm chasing you, ladies, and I'm in the middle of the mall, and I clown on you, snatch your purse, and tell you, take your behind to the car. Right there at food court. And everybody listening. You don't need to forget that. Can I help you out? Because you don't need to repeat it. Am I making sense to everybody? Paul says, I didn't forget the knowledge of God's word. The word never changes. Second thing Paul did not forget, he did not forget how the Lord saved him by grace. See, if you could stay focused on the fact that I am who I am by the grace of God, God will take you higher. Where we mess up is we want to tell other folks, girl, I don't do this no more. But give God the credit. Don't you walk around talking about what you don't do. Honor the fact that your mouth ought to say, if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? So Paul did not forget the word of God. He did not forget the concept of being saved by grace. And Paul did not forget everything life taught him. I can't understand how people can repeat the same dumb thing over and over again. Can I tell you why? You ain't learned nothing. Because when you know the stove is hot and the red light is on, at least wait till the light go off before you touch it. For you. Do you understand what Paul is saying? Very valuable lesson. But that still doesn't answer the question. What does Paul mean? When Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, you already know that the word forgetting comes from a stronger Greek word which adds emphasis to what Paul is trying to teach us. First thing I need you to understand is that the word forgetting is in the present tense.
Yes.
Can I go there? Okay. If it's in the present tense, then it's a continuous action. Oh, you don't wake up from yesterday's victory with the attitude, I got this. Life is a struggle. And you're going to have some ups and you're going to have some downs. There are going to be some moments you're going to feel as if God is nowhere in the picture. When Paul says forgetting, Paul says, I was making it a practice not to allow my past to dictate my present. The worst thing a Christian can ever do is, let me tell you, I tried that, and you know, it just never worked. And you know, what happened was, I went over there. No. So, you got to know how to cut it loose. It happened, let it go. Let it go now, and us don't let stuff go. How you going to sandwich in every man for one stupid man's mistake? Boy, y'all know how to get quiet on a preacher. Same thing with a woman. You had a bad apple on the tree. Don't mean all the fruit on the tree ain't good. Boy, y'all done got quiet. Am I making it? Do you understand the value of what? You cannot live in the past and enjoy your present. Paul said, let it go. And I've been in places where folk let the past creep right on back in. Henri and I left. It called, he showed up. And you're going to be on the run for the rest of your life. You got to get to a point that you don't care. I mean, point blank, just don't care. So when Paul says forgetting, Paul's objective was he was after not letting the past control his present. It wasn't about, I'm trying not to remember. You got to remember. And some folk, you do need to remember. Why? If they wasn't right then, it might be a strong possibility they ain't right now. But he told me that he looked. I won't try and see if he really. She said that she really loved me. And I'm not too, I'm going to try it. I'm just going, come on now. Come on. When did you see the change? I'm asking y'all, when did you see the change? That's your opinion. So Paul says this idea of forgetting means you got to forget your victories and your defeats. Why is that important? Because you don't want to go into battle with a cocky attitude. And that's why we mess up. I got this. No. Hold it. You won last week. You might lose this week. That's what Paul means. See, you got to be careful what you drag from behind. Got me? Because see, you might have swept one man off his feet, one woman off her feet, but you might run into a rough one. Boy, y'all don't got quiet on me. This is the only way I can teach it is to make it practical. See, that the point is, you had an attitude with that one. You better get rid of it with this one. Am I making myself clear? Why? You can't drag the. You just changed jobs. Oh, I was top person in my field there, and I'm no longer there. I'm working here. Okay, fine. Let that go, cause that boss may set a different criteria than your new boss. Let that victory go now. Let it go. Cut it loose, and above all, cut loose defeats. I ain't never got nobody since I was that way, and I ain't looking to get nobody else. Well, you already telling life is over.
That's
What you might need to do is go in front of the mirror, look at yourself, and say, well, God, help me. Put a little bit of makeup on. Boy, y'all done got quiet. If your hair ain't right, buy some. And I'm as serious as I can be. And walk out the door and say, now, God, if I look good enough for you, send who you say is mine my way. You had a defeat in your past, but in order to do right, let it go. Forget what was behind. And us can't do that. When you sit down to counsel people and try to talk to them and tell them things, they got to bring up, what had happened? Well, I ain't. My point to you is, what are you doing? Listen to me. Christians sometimes have a tendency to rely on victories that messes them up for their present. You gotta just let it go. And you ain't all that. I'm not trying to be funny. You ain't all that. Let me say it again, because some of y'all sitting up with these masks on looking at me like zombies. You are not all that. None of us are. Nobody up in here got that much going on. We all need God's help. We need his guidance. We need his grace. I tell you what, Sister Paul. I'm going to end it on this. Paul says, forgetting means you got to break the power of the past before you can step forward.
All right.
Am I making sense? All right. Don't you let the past. Got me? You have to break it loose, or else it'll hold you hostage. Okay? I don't know nothing about y'all business. Now, I won't talk about mine. I'm going to end on this. I would never have been a preacher if I held on to the past.
That's right.
My father, educated drunk, did some horrible things. Jumped on my mama. Do you not know if I wasn't careful, I could have easily become a drunk or had an attitude about a drunk? But in order to succeed, you got to learn how to forget and forgive. And us don't do neither one of them too well. Both of them got us in trouble. Because I ain't forgive. I ain't got to forgive. Because you're not going to hold me hostage. Got to let it go. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I'm going to leave you with this bullet. Forget those things which are behind. Don't allow. You're dragging too much. Cut it loose. But they always been like that. Cut them loose. Boy, y'all. Some of y'all got buddies and friends. You need to cut them loose. They weren't about nothing when you met them. And you dogging them. That's just the way they're. Cut them loose. You can't go forward with mess. I'm finished. I'm finished. We'll deal with number two. Number two later. You already know forgetting. Those things which are behind. What did he say next? Reaching. I'm going to leave you with this. Don't try to reach if you have not forgot. Got too much in your hand. Turn to your neighbor. I need thee. Did you have more? I don't know about any of you all, but I can sit by myself in the presence of the Lord and get happy. Let me tell you how I can do it. When I look at me and I realize the awesomeness of God's grace.
Yes, sir.
The struggle of dealing with diabetes.
Yes,
and how the enemy comes at you from all different directions. And look like every time I would pray, this over here go wrong.
Yeah.
And this right here happen.
Yes,
I mean, just amazing. But I never gave up. Never gave up. And Sister Everhart, when I went in that day, and he says, "Preacher, man, your A1C is out the wazoo."
Yeah.
"What do you mean?" He said, "Well, let me just put it like this. It's 13 something."
Yeah.
I said, "Okay, we're gonna work." Look like it took me forever. Just dragging along.
Yeah.
And the enemy kept saying, "Gotcha." We said, "Gotcha." And I said, "Oh, no, you don't." No, no, no. No, it was a struggle. But I said, "No, no, 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 no." And guess what?
What?
Go back next month and I guarantee you.
Come on. All right.
The last time I went, he says, "Well, hats and tips off to you. You got it, Doc."
Yeah.
I said, "What is it now?" He said, 7.2.
Oh.
It's going to be 6 point something next time. Here's what I'm trying to teach you. Stop listening to folk and feeding off of their negativity. I love when people say, "Well, Pastor, this is what I did and it didn't work." That's fine. But when I know what works, and when I'm telling you what works is when you put your mind in God's hand, and then God will take the taste away from certain things that you thought you had to have. Boy, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. He laughed at me in the office the other day. I said, "You want one of these sugar-free?" He said, "No, bro." And I ate that one. Up to about, I would say on average, 2 apples a day. Pants about to fall off. That's all right. It's cheaper with a new wardrobe than to dress me in a casket right now. Boy, y'all looking at me strange. You got to understand. You got to continue if you're going to conquer. Don't quit. Hang on in there. Doors of church open. Doors of church open. God got something in store for you. But you can't quit. I need thee. How many of y'all need it? No, wrong question. How many of y'all got it?
I need
the doors of church open. You may come as a candidate for baptism, Christian experience, or by letter.
Every hour, Lord, I need. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Savior.
I come to thee. I need thee. Yeah.
As good as God has been to me. Church, I gotta praise Him. Yes, good as God has been to me. Oh.
You made a way.